Welcome to Living Free Today, a ministry of Cornerstone Fellowship, San Lorenzo, California. Today's message is entitled, Pilate Questions Jesus, from the books of John chapter 18, verses 33 through 38, and the book of Psalms chapter 2. This message was preached on March 19, 2017. We hope you enjoyed this message by Dr. Michael Wilson.
If you would turn in your Bibles to John chapter 18, we are looking at the exchange or the interview of Pilate and Jesus Christ. If you recall, Pilate is the Roman governor. Pilate is the one that was placed there by Caesar to keep the peace in Judea. And he had one basic goal, and his goal was to keep the peace, to keep the people paying taxes, and to keep any insurrection or treason from happening so that the taxes could continue to be paid. He was to alert Rome of any insurrection or any problems. And we believe that Pilate had at any time 1,000 or so soldiers in the area that he could have called on to come and support any problems. If we look at Pilate, we know that he knew Roman law very clearly. And if you read all four Gospels, he declared Jesus innocent over and over and over again, and yet he crucified him. And when we look at the religious leaders, the holy men of Israel like Caiaphas and Annas, we see that they are engaged in one of the most vile acts of judicial murder. Yet they were concerned about being ceremonially clean for the Passover. These two-faced people, the hypocrisy that is going on at every level, makes the trial and crucifixion of Jesus Christ full of contradiction and mysteries, perhaps some nuances that we will never understand. And so we come to Jesus Christ in verse 33. He had already been interviewed by the high priest and the high priest's father-in-law. And he's been taken to Pilate. And Pilate said, "What charge do you bring?" And Caiaphas, in his inimitable way, says, "If he was not a criminal or an evildoer, I would not have brought him." In other words, it's none of your business what he did. He's evil. Please crucify him. D.A. Carson says, "The Jews take elaborate precautions to avoid ritual contamination in order to eat the Passover. At the very same time, they are busy manipulating the judicial system to secure the death of him who alone is the true Passover." And so Pilate refuses to try Jesus, even refuses to talk to Jesus, because they will not bring a charge. And if we look in Luke chapter 23, verse 2, we see a charge that they finally brought. It says, "And they began to accuse him, saying, 'We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king.'" So there are three charges in this. The first is, they said, Jesus is misleading our nation. Now, Pilate the Roman could care less about that. He didn't care what the Jews believed. He didn't care what the Jews did. He didn't care what the Jews taught in their schools. If somebody was coming and misleading them, he didn't care as long as they were paying their taxes. And so the second charge is, "And forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar." Tribute is another word for taxes. And I'm sure when this charge was brought up, Pilate's ears perked up. Because if taxes were not flowing to Rome, Pilate was going to get a talking to by Caesar. And then lastly it says, "And saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And so, New Testament was written in Greek. They were probably speaking to Pilate in Greek because that was the kind of the street language of the day. And so when Pilate heard that, he would hear what Christ means, which is the anointed one. And so they were accusing Jesus of being an anointed king or someone who is in official succession. And so both the tax question and the king question became very interesting to Pilate because these are things that could disrupt the relationship of this oppressed people with the Roman government. And you say, well, what about King Herod? He's already a king, king of the Jews. King Herod was a political king, and King Herod was a puppet of Rome. He was placed there by Rome. And so Rome can put people places and call them a king. What they do not like is for people to come out of the populace and declare themselves king. One of the reasons is if you have a king, that king has a kingdom somewhere. And if that king has a kingdom, that kingdom probably has an army. And if that king has an army, that king can command those armies to march on the Roman soldiers and eventually march on Rome. And so these things have to be beaten down very quickly. People felt secure in Rome, but they were always at war for as long as Rome was in existence. They were trying to conquer more and more lands and get more and more taxes to feed their population and to take care of their population. And so to have a large contingency of evildoers around the next mountain that could stop them from this advance, that could eventually march on Rome. And so when the words king are given to Pilate, he gets very interested as to what could this mean and where is this kingdom. And so we come in the book of John in verse 33. It says, so Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Now this is part of the Roman court system. Pilate was not obeying all the rules. He did not have a jury of witnesses, which is required by Rome. He did not have a public reading of the charges. But what he is doing was probably being recorded by somebody who was observing this. And however this went, this record would have been sent to Rome and put into the official library of court cases so that people down the road could observe it. And as I've said before, our court system comes from the Roman court system. And if you've ever seen perhaps a lawyer on TV, perhaps in the news, they have behind them all these books that have the same kind of binding, kind of a brownish, reddish, orange binding. Those are all the decisions, all the court cases that have been decided in the court system, because as a case is decided, the next case can build upon it. That next case can stand upon that decision, and that is how your lowest level of court can establish law. And the Romans believed in this sort of system. And so Pilate is accusing Jesus. This is a formal charge. Are you the king of the Jews? He doesn't bother with the tax question of are you teaching people not to pay taxes, because that is inconsequential if Jesus is a king with a kingdom and an army. And so Jesus says, do you say this of your own accord, or did others say this about me? And some have said, well, Jesus is being evasive and Jesus is being clever. But Jesus is actually participating in the Roman court system. He knew what Pilate was trying to do. The charge was, are you a king? Are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus is asking pointedly, are you asking as a Roman? Because if you're asking as a Roman, the word king means something different than if you're asking as a Jew. If you're asking like a Roman, it is a political question. It is a question that comes out of insurrection and treason. But if you're asking as a Jew, then Jesus is in fact the Messiah, and it becomes a religious question. And so Jesus will participate in this questioning if he understands what the charge is. And so he's saying, is it a Roman insurrection charge, or is it a Jesus questioning or Jews questioning him being Messiah charge? And Pilate answers very clearly, am I a Jew? In other words, he's saying, why would I bother with the Jewish Messiah question? Why would I bother with this backwards religion? Got to remember that the Romans were a polytheistic people. They had hundreds of gods, and you could pick one and pray to that particular god for strength or riches, and they believed the gods were living on mountains and living in the heavens, and that they had active involvement in human life, and they saw the Jews having one God as kind of backwards, and they didn't understand how the cosmos worked. And so Pilate is saying, I would not be involved in the Jewish religious system. I already know what's going on in the world. I already know how the world works. But he does say, your own nation and the chief priests in verse 35 have delivered you over to me. What have you done? So he's still trying to figure out what Caiaphas and the priestly class has against Jesus. He's trying to figure out why he was brought bound to Pilate. He is beginning to understand that Jesus is not a king that will challenge the sovereignty of Rome. And so he's more curious as to what is going on. In verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not of this world. And so Pilate has an idea of what this can mean. Pilate understood that there were heavenly kingdoms that his gods lived in, that there were kingdoms of the underworld that their gods lived in, that if you were good and played well with their gods, you were rewarded by going to the kingdom of the good gods, but if not, you went to the kingdom of the underworld, which even the Romans would have called hell at that time. And so Jesus is defending, saying, you've got this physical world. My kingdom is not of this physical world. Pilate may have thought he meant a heavenly world, a heavenly kingdom, or an under the world kingdom. But Jesus calms Pilate down by saying, if I was a king in this world, if my kingdom was over the next hill and I had an army, then these armies would have already appeared and would have shown themselves for the purpose of keeping him out of the court system of the Romans. And so in 37, Pilate says to him, so you are a king. And Pilate is trying to figure out a king of what, and a king of where, and a king of how. That Jesus has a kingdom, but it doesn't look like this kingdom is going to be a threat to Caesar. And Jesus says, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And this is the most theological answer that Jesus gives during the trials. He says that he was born, which we now understand that that means the incarnation, that Jesus Christ, who has existed from eternity past, uncreated, God of God, was born of a virgin. But he also came into the world, and the words that he is using, came into the world, literally means came from another place. And when we hear of a birth, we don't say, oh, that little baby came into the world. We say that little baby was born because that little baby went through the normal process of birth. But Jesus is saying he went through the normal process of birth, but he also came from another place. He came from heaven. He came from eternity past. And these are the two halves, the two parts of the incarnation, where Jesus is God of God and man of man, 100% God, 100% man, in a way that we can never fully understand. But he is saying that he is both natures and both natures at once. And the purpose that he came was to bear witness to the truth. And we can jump all over Scripture where Jesus declares that he is the truth, where Jesus declares that he is the truth of God, where is the only truth of God, that when God speaks, it is Jesus. But we have to just know that the truth of Christ, the truth of the incarnation, is that Jesus Christ came to die. And the truth of that death is that if you want to have a relationship with God, if you want to have a relationship with your Creator, the only way to get it is through the blood of Jesus Christ. The only way to have eternal life is to have the blood of Jesus Christ cover your sins. Pilate believed in a multiplicity of gods, some good and some bad. We believe in one God who lives in heaven, and all who reject him go to hell. And so in many ways, Pilate had the good and bad, the black and the white, correct, but he didn't have the means or the understanding to understand that it was Jesus Christ who gets you into heaven. And he says, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. This is similar to the phrase that Jesus used many times, he who has ears, let him hear, that there are people who are prepared to hear God. There are people who are able to understand what God is saying. There are people that the Holy Spirit is working in their lives and bringing them to an understanding. And Jesus is saying to Pilate, I am the truth. Do you understand the truth? I am speaking the truth. Do you understand the truth? Jesus is saying that as a king, his kingdom is not of here. It isn't really of heaven. It is a kingdom that is a spiritual kingdom. It is a kingdom that is of truth. When Jesus was telling the various stories and types of the kingdom of God, he would conclude by saying, the kingdom of God is amongst you. And so when we look around today, we have people, all sorts of people all around the world who have salvation, who have the Holy Spirit, and collectively, we are the kingdom of God. Collectively, we are bringing the rule of God into our lives and into our families. And as such, God's rule, Christ's rule, is alive and well in this world. And we say, but it isn't everywhere, and I know it's not everywhere. God never promised that it would be everywhere. He promised that it would be few and narrow and some, that many would reject. But we know that in our lives, we know that in our understanding, that God can reign, Christ can reign in our lives, in our hearts. And so the idea of Pilate being scared about Jesus being a king has been put aside. The Pilate knows that Jesus is some sort of strange, wacky king of some kingdom that doesn't exist. He's willing to put the title of king on him, but also probably willing to call him crazy, because this whole spiritual thing doesn't really come into the worldview of Pilate. That Pilate is, as I said before, polytheistic, very military. He was a soldier that was brought into here because he married the granddaughter of the Caesar. And so as Jesus talks about the spiritual kingdom and talks about truth, Pilate's only response is to throw up his hands and say, "What is truth?" Which is ironic, if you will, because truth himself was standing before him. And we will look next week at this question and how Jesus Christ is truth. After this, and probably see some more things that were said, he went back outside to the Jews, and he said, "Absolvo non facisis veritor." This is Latin, and this is an official thing. When a judge in an American court slams the gavel and says, "Not guilty, you can't be charged again for that crime. You are not guilty. You are absolved of evil. And you can," they say, "get out of here. You can walk free." And this is, in Roman law, this phrase is like that. When you say that, you are saying, case closed, not guilty, clear the courtroom. This guy has no business being here. And so Pilate officially, by Roman law, declared Jesus Christ not guilty. Second time he's done it, declaring Jesus Christ not guilty. But Jesus Christ will remain in the Roman court system until he is crucified. When we look at this and we say, well, Pilate must have been a puppet, or the high priest must have been under the influence of something because they're acting so irrational. Well, they're acting the way human beings act. They're acting out of their own selfish human nature. And by the force of the will of the people, they are going to move this forward until Jesus Christ is going to be put on a cross and he is going to die for the sins of the world. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, I just praise your name that Christ died for the sins of the world, that the Roman court and Pilate as the judge is a goofy thing to look at of what are they talking about, but we know that it is all just window dressing for moving Christ closer and closer to the cross. Every step of the way, Jesus Christ is declared innocent, not guilty, and as such, he died as an innocent man with my sin and the sin of these people on him. Lord, we praise you for this. We praise you that there is no life apart from Jesus Christ, and we ask your blessing upon this day and the offering to come. We ask all this through the blood of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Living Free Today. This has been a ministry of Cornerstone Fellowship located at 180 Llewellyn Boulevard, San Lorenzo, California, 94580. Email us for more information at info@livingfreetoday.org. Our website is www.livingfreetoday.org. Our telephone number is 510-278-2622. If you're looking for a church, come visit us on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. for Bible study and at 10:45 Sunday morning. God bless you as you live daily in His presence. This has been Deacon Luis Ramazzini, Living Free Today.